Churches seem so different than they were before. The songs they sing are not the same as the songs of old. The hymnals used so long ago, it seems they've disappeared. But I thank the Lord for this church and these hymns we hear. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Now these new songs talk of heaven, worship and God's love. But there's nothing sweeter to my ears than that fountain filled with blood. I guess I'm just old-fashioned, like those songs of old. But there's times I've make it through the day, holding to this hope. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, near the cross, amazing grace. How I love to tell the story, because He lives, Jesus saves. Pass me not, draw me nearer to the old rugged cross. These hymns simply remind us nothing but the blood still saves the lost. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to Thy precious nothing but the blood still saves the lost.
Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 23 this morning. Luke chapter 23, we're going to read verses 33 through 43 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. As you're finding your place this morning, Luke chapter 3, if you're able, please stand to your feet as we honor the Word of God, as we read the Word of God together this morning. Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 33. Luke chapter 23. Begin at verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew: "This is the king of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Christ Jesus, for what you did for us, as we just read on the account in the Word of God. Lord, I pray that the Word of God that's preached today will not go unheeded. I pray that you do in our hearts what needs to be done, and you know what that is. So, Lord, speak to us today. Help us to hear what you have for us individually. I pray for our pastor as he comes, serving us for 39 years. Lord, I pray you'd bless him today again, empowering with thy Holy Spirit for this task ahead today. And if there's somebody listening on the internet this morning or in this room this morning that does not know Jesus the Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I heard a few dings of cell phones. Would you check and make sure those are turned off, please? Just double check, and we want to make sure that we have these few moments together without interruption from somebody wanting to know why you're in church. 39 years ago, the first Sunday we had, the first sermon that I preached, I even kept the little outline I preached from that Sunday. I preached on Jesus, and I preached on the cross. 39 years later, I want to preach on Jesus, and I want to preach on the cross. Only this time I want to talk about those three crosses there. Each of the Gospels record what took place, and each of them gives us a little different view of what took place on the cross and what happened that day of crucifixion. Here in Luke's Gospel, those two guys that are crucified with Jesus, they're called malefactors. The other Gospels call them thieves. In Roman days, they didn't crucify you for being a thief. They crucified you for a life of crime, but more importantly, a life of rebellion. Jesus was crucified by the Roman government because they saw him as a threat to their leadership. The Jewish religious crowd crucified Jesus, wanted him crucified because he was a threat to their religion. So basically what we have on these crosses up here this morning are what the world would see as three rebels. Luke's account is my favorite because it gives us a little more of an insight of what happened on that day. They beat Jesus till you could not tell he was a human being anymore. He did not look human any longer. He looked like a mass of ripped flesh. Psalms 22 tells us he could look down and count the ribs in his rib cage. They had beaten him so severely it tore the flesh off his body. They punched him in the face until his face was disfigured. Not a bone in his body would be broken, but believe me, they took particular pleasure in torturing him before they made him carry a cross that weighed somewhere between 200 to 300 pounds. Out of the judgment halls to the place of Calvary, Golgotha it's called. He's lost so much blood he staggered under the load, and they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who just happened to be passing in the crowd, take this and carry it for him. And then Jesus staggered to Calvary, and then they laid him down on his back, took nails and drove them through his hands, crossed his legs, bent his ankles, and then drove a spike through his ankles to nail him to the cross. They did the same to the other two men. Crucifixion, you must remember, does not kill somebody. They die of suffocation. They have to hang by their body weight, and they have to pull themselves up for every breath that they take. That's why they beat them, so the blood would flow and they lose their strength, and they would just literally hang there and suffocate. Sometimes people would live for days on the cross. There were three crosses on that hill that day. The world sees three men who just look like three guys. 30-some thousand people were crucified in that area of Palestine during the lifetime of Christ. 33,000, they figure. Jesus was about 33 years old. That's 1,000 a year, 20 a week. It was common to see crucifixions. People would take lunches and meals and go sit down and watch these people suffer and die. They'd make their families sit at the foot of the cross and be shamed, because people would walk by and spit on the people on the cross and then spit on their family. It's a horrible sight here. Three crosses on Calvary that day. The Gospels tell us that those two men initially joined the crowd at the foot of the cross of Jesus, who was there to mock him. You saw it in the scriptures this morning. Some of that crowd said, "Hey, if you're really the Son of God, save yourself. Pull the nails out. One more miracle. Come on." They had seen him do so many things that man could not explain, but they're still crying for one more. Initially, the Bible tells us those two thieves joined the crowd. They railed on Jesus too. "Yeah, while you're at it, you're going to save yourself, save us too." But in Luke's gospel here, as you saw in your scripture this morning there, would you notice it very carefully what Jesus said to this howling mob, to those railing malefactors, thieves, rebels, to that religious bunch who saw him feed multitudes and saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, and saw him raise a young girl who had been dead for several days, raise her from the dead, saw all of that, heard him preach, heard him sing, heard him testify, heard all that Jesus did, that crowd saying, "Come on, save yourself if you're really the Son of God." And the two thieves are going, "Yeah, while you're at it, pull us out of this mess too." And Jesus' answer to all this howling bunch was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I want us to listen to the three crosses this morning. First of all, I want you to hear the testimony of the cross. See, look at me, look at me. The Savior is in the middle. Bible says that one is on his right hand, the thief. The other thief was on his left hand. But Jesus is in the center here. Do you understand, dear people, what's happening here is not an act of a Roman government or a religious crowd. What you see here is the greatest event in human history, where the one in the middle is the difference. Do you see yourself as either one of those people there, the thieves? You say, "Well, Pastor Johnson, come on, I'm not a criminal." No, but do you understand this morning that you'll never understand the Savior in the middle until you understand you're one of the thieves on the sides? "Now, that's not right, Pastor. I didn't come to church to make somebody me feel bad about myself." Well, then I'm glad you came today, because I want you to feel bad about yourself, because I need to feel bad about myself, because we're all sinners, my friend. And you can't appreciate a Savior until you know what a sinner you are. You can't get it. You understand? That self-righteous religiosity bunch of junk will send more people to hell than anything else, because we're such good people. No, we're not all wicked, but I tell you what, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way, yet the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Until you see yourself as one of those guys on the side, you'll never understand the man in the middle. You never will. You'll never get the concept of what's happening here. Because you see, people, look at me. Of the three who are crucified, two deserve it and one does not. Don't you see it? We want a religiosity, a salvation even that has no repentance, no agreement about my condition before God. We got it soft soaped today. We polished it up so much nowadays that all you have to think about is having some kind of interpersonal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's salvation. No, my friend, no. Here it is. Here's how it works. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We're the thieves. That's me. That's you. That's one of us. I'm one of those guys up there. One was on his right hand. The other was on his left. Say, which one was it? It doesn't matter. They were both there for the same reason. And the same Savior that was there between them is the answer both men have. Until someone sees the condition they have before God, they can't appreciate the Savior who came to save them from that same condition. These guys were more than thieves. They were rebels. Mankind wanted to get rid of them. They didn't just do something one time. That means they had to have a lifestyle of rebellion against the government, against the society, against all that was lived. And quite frankly, they were rebels against God. That's where we are. All we like sheep. Now, listen to me. That's us. And we got to get to that point. You can't appreciate the one in the middle, the Savior in the middle, and what he's doing until you realize why he's doing it. Do you hear the voice, the voices from the crosses today? There's the testimony of the crosses. Then there's this. Then hear the testimony of one cross. One of them. That's the one in the middle. The one that bears the Savior. The one that holds the body of the perfect, sinless Son of God. Because that, look at me, that person on that cross is the only hope those two have, the only hope. And nothing has changed in 6,000 years. There is no hope outside of Christ for us to have a standing with God. There's none. Now, you can look at it two ways this morning, that statement. You can look at it like you're being excluded, or you can look like it is the only way you can be included. See, we have to understand something. God does not exclude people from salvation. They exclude themselves. He tells them, this is the way. You come to Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's Jesus. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's God's authority. Listen to me. That means if I will come to Christ trusting him alone for my salvation, I can have salvation. If I don't, then I won't, and that's the simplicity of it. That one cross in the middle reminds me those two men, their only hope is that person, that Savior, that one dying on the cross. That is their only hope. Would God Christians could remind themselves that that's where we were. We were in rebellion against God in a simple moment of repentance, of faith, trusting Christ to be our Savior. We accepted him and we have salvation. Now, for most people, the cross is just a piece of furniture. It's just a piece of jewelry or something like that. We have them behind that screen is a great big cross. Our son gave us that, as a matter of our church, that gave that to us. We use it as a symbol. But for a lot of people, that's all it is. It should be a signpost that reminds us. The cross is a signpost that reminds us. Anybody could come to the foot of the cross. See how narrow it is at the bottom? That's the way of salvation. It's a narrow way to come to the foot of that cross, trusting that Savior. It's narrow. Notice the arms extended like this. Everybody over here and everybody over there and anybody in between can come to the foot of the cross. And notice the intersection is where the Savior is. That's the one that saves us. Years ago, I heard a preacher say the gospel is not a peace pact, it's an ultimatum. Therein is the only hope anybody will ever have to know the forgiveness of God and for Jesus to pay your debt. It's the one in the middle that's the difference. Neither of the other ones can change their condition. Hey, look at me. Watch me. This is very important. Neither one can change their situation. Those thieves. There's no time for them to get down and go get baptized. There's no time for them to change their living. There's no time for them to get religion. They have no hope but the one in the middle. That's their only shot. Oh, good news. One of them is going to wake up and figure that out in just a moment. But one of them will not do it. Do you know why? Even in the moment where he is within arm's reach of the Son of God, he will still say, yeah, I need to be saved. But he's not asking for salvation. He's asking for help in his life. He's asking for somebody to remove his condition. He's asking for somebody to get him out of trouble. See, those people think that's what salvation is. I got in a jam and I asked Jesus to save me out of my troubles, out of my difficulty, out of my... No. You ask him to save you from your sin and the penalty of sin. Those guys right there prove to you, my friend, you can't be good enough to go to heaven. You can't be right enough to be right. You can't be pure enough to be pure. You can't live a life that'll get God's attention. Those men are going to die for what they have done. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That shows us that there is no hope but Jesus Christ for our salvation. That ends good works for salvation. It ends good works to keep it too. One of them's going to trust Christ in just a moment. Woo! My favorite part. But he didn't have time to hold out faithful to the end. He just had time to have faith in Christ. And that moment got his salvation square right. Do you see that? Then you hear the testimony from the two crosses. The other gospels tell us initially both of them railed on Jesus. One thief never changes his mind in verse number 39. Yeah. Like those guys said down there. We're all suffering. There's every breath they take, every word they speak, they have to pull themselves up with nails through their hands and through their feet. I still remember being in the Philippines many years ago, preaching on Easter, near an Easter Sunday. And we went to see one of those crucifixions where they literally nail people to a cross. Someday, if you want to get disgusted, I'll show it to you. They literally drove nails through his hands and his feet, this man. And he was up there maybe 5-10 minutes, maybe. Took pictures, took him down, pulled the nails out, put him in the ambulance, drove him to the hospital. That was the 12th time he'd done that. It was a mockery, to be honest with you. I'd heard of it and I thought, surely they don't actually nail them to a cross. But they did. All across many third world countries on that day, so-called Good Friday, they call it, there were dozens of people crucified. Two or three women later on in the Philippines done the same thing. You know, if you stop to think about it, that one man is that close to Jesus and all he can think about is himself. Is it self that keeps most people from salvation? Pride of self, too proud to yield and say, I need a salvation, I need a Savior. What is it? You trust in a religion rather than Christ? Well, I'm a good person. That has nothing to do with it. Those guys prove no goodness will get you into standing with God. What is it? This one man from the cross. Yeah. When you're coming down, you get down off that, you get us down too. You know why? Because he's going to go back to his life. Look at me. You don't have to stop sinning to be saved. But if you're not willing to admit your life is wrong, you can't get it. That's what repentance is. It's a turning where you acknowledge, you know what? What I am, what I've done is not right. I turn to Christ. You see, Pastor Johnson, you're trying to make it hard to get saved. No, I'm trying to make it clear. We got one thing we get blamed for, and it's unfortunate, is what's called easy believism. Oh, you think you just believe in Jesus, you get saved. No, we don't. Never have, never will. The devils believe and tremble. Believing in him has nothing to do with salvation. Trusting him alone for salvation, that's the difference. And to do that, I got to admit what I have ain't working. It's not working. This is not what God accepts. This is not right. And turn to Christ. One of those crosses, that man died in his condition. And 2,000 years later, he's joined the rich man in hell and multitudes of others. How unfortunate. But look at me, people. He's this close. He's this close to what he could have had and wouldn't just turn to Christ. Oh, but there's two crosses there now, hey? Initially, one of them, my right hand or left hand, I don't know. Doesn't matter because the Bible doesn't tell us, but I'll tell you what happened. One of those guys, he heard that, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he paused. But wait a minute, look in your scriptures. That wasn't the first time he ever heard about Jesus. And it wasn't the first time he ever saw him. Look at down in there in your verses, just a few moments, a few scriptures more in Luke chapter 23. Look at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, "If thou be Christ, save us." Verse 39. Look at verse 40. "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." But wait a minute, look at this. "But this man hath done nothing." How did he know that? Nothing amiss. Was it just the moment of forgiveness Jesus was willing to grant? And the thief, this man thought, "Boy, there's nobody like that." Possibly. Frankly, no. That guy knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew him. He knew of him. He knew what he was. And that was good enough. And so he gets to go to heaven. Oh, no. Then he says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He still had to ask and trust for his salvation. Hey, friend, look at me. Don't get that close to salvation and miss it. Because you can miss it by a quarter of an inch and miss it by a mile. Because you believe in him. Because you have religion. Because you got baptized. Because you, "Well, I've always been a Christian." No one has always been a Christian. You become a Christian by salvation. That's a new birth. You haven't always been being born. You were born into this life in a moment. You trust Christ. That's when you get saved. There's the event of salvation. You better have that clear now. Clearly. One of those crosses, one of those men on that cross, he turned to the Lord. And first of all, he rails on the other guy. He says, "You know, we got what we got coming to us. We're wrong." That's an admission of sin. That's necessary to salvation. Then he says, "This man's done nothing amiss." And so he doesn't even bother. Notice what he does. He doesn't let the other thief take him to hell too. "Well, I would trust Christ, but see, then I would have to admit." Look at me, friend. Don't mess up and let someone else take you to hell in the process. Every person has to make their own decision for salvation. Everybody does. You don't have salvation because someone else you know got saved. You have to trust Christ. You have to get saved. And many people will miss salvation because, "Yeah, but then there's this friend of mine." You watch during the invitation in just a few moments, there'll be people who will look at the person next to them before they make a decision. No, 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 no. Don't let them take you to hell. Don't miss it because of that. You and I are responsible individually for what we know about Jesus Christ and what salvation is. And I hope I've been clear enough to make it clear this morning. Salvation is through Christ alone. And until we accept him, we don't have it. That has to be done. You have to make that decision. I will receive Jesus as my Savior. And that's what one guy does. Question, are you that thief? Have you done that? Do you remember that day you trusted Christ as your Savior? You simply turned to him and accepted him for your salvation? Do you remember that? Two men next to the Savior. One of them is today. Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, let me explain what today meant. It meant someday, hopefully now, somewhere down the road, possibly. Now, last time I checked it, today meant now you're going to be with him in heaven. Today, before this sun sets, you and I will be in paradise. Because that day that man would die, and he did. That moment that he died, he woke up in heaven. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Hey, the thief got to heaven before Jesus did. He died, his body went to the grave. 3 days he was in the hand of the Father. Was that in heaven? I don't know. I know this, the thief got to heaven the moment that he died. Because if you have salvation, you have everlasting life. 2,000 years ago, those crosses are still telling us something, yeah? So then you say, "Well, Pastor Johnson, thank God I settled that a long time ago. I know Christ as my personal Savior. I have accepted him, and I know that I have eternal life." Good. Now, the last thing you want to say about it is this. So we come to this place that reminds us of what Jesus did for us. That reminds us we were one of those thieves. But now we're a child of God. And we're going to do what with our life? Hey, look at me. We're going to do what with our life? We're just going to get up out of church and go home and say, "Oh, he talked about three crosses today." Or are we going to say, "You know what? If Jesus was willing to do that for me, what should I be willing to do for him? If since he was willing to go that far, that much, that way, and didn't deserve it, I'm going to do what now with my life? I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live my own life. Ladies and gentlemen, what has happened to us? What has happened to us when we forget about what happened on that day on Calvary and what the Savior did, and we accepted that as our salvation and He accepted us as His child? What now? I'm supposed to just go do my own thing and live my own life and cut my own path and do what I want? You see what I'm saying? Those crosses are still talking to us. It should remind us what a wonderful Savior we have. And it should remind us that our Savior did say, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.